Lovely. Well, welcome, ladies. It seems a little bit strange looking out and it's just women. I think this is the first time in this building that this room has been this full of women. So you are looking, it's the first time I've turned around and looked this way with sitting at the front, but you're looking absolutely wonderful today, absolutely gorgeous. So welcome, welcome. Sorry, we do have a few honorary gents in the building today, as you would have noticed, but feel free to ignore them and pretend they're not here. That would be absolutely fine. Do you know, I was thinking as I was getting ready today, it's really nice dressing up for the girls, isn't it? Because as women, we dress up more for the girls than for guys, don't we? That's true, isn't it? Or is that just me? When you're getting together with the girls and you're doing something nice with the girls, I'm probably more bothered about getting my hair right for the girls. I don't know, this might just be me. And I'm just gonna do this because this is really annoying me. Was that annoying anybody else? Okay. For all the perfectionists in the room, we're good to go now. Okay, so, as Becky said, my name's Lisa, and along with Becky Dilnot and Becky Bell, we have the honour and the privilege of leading the women's ministry in the house, and it is wonderful. We've had some wonderful things happening during the year, but this is our first women's conference in this building. Are we enjoying it so far? Yeah. I just wanted to say a special welcome. I don't know, obviously we have a lot of New Horizon women in the house today, but you might not know that we actually have, I think, about 23, 24 different churches represented in one building today, which is incredible, absolutely incredible. So we've got women from the Ark, Langley Mill Baptist, Ambergate Methodist, Redeemer in Chesterfield, Heart Church, Trent Vineyard, Church of the Nazarene, feel free to give a whoop when I get to you, St. Mary's Eastwood, Arena Church, Ilkeston, Eagle's Nest, Forest Road Methodist, Pilsley Church, oh, they're coming this evening, Net Church in Dartford, Renew Church, Uxeter, Carlton Pentecostal, The Well in Sheffield, Riverside, Southall, Redditch AOG Church, Aspie Church, and I think there are a few more that aren't on that list that have booked this week as well. So give yourselves a round of applause if you've travelled to be here today. It is absolutely wonderful to have you with us. And as Rosie said during the worship time, if you are one of those women who has been dragged along by a Christian friend today, or a Christian sister, or a Christian family member, then we just really, really welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. And we really hope that something of today touches your life and inspires you today. So let's get into the word, ladies. And you will have seen that at the theme of our conference this year is reach. And there were three things that we really felt inspired to do as we were planning and praying and seeking what God wanted to do during the conference this year. And one of those things was we wanted you ladies to reach in and to see that you are beautifully and uniquely created. Beautifully and uniquely created. We also wanted to spend some time together reaching up and knowing that each and every one of us is loved and treasured by God. And we also, especially in the next session where Becky Murray and Broxtow Women's Project will be sharing with us, we wanted the opportunity today to focus on reaching out as well and believing that actually each one of us in the room today can do something that makes an impact and makes a difference. And so I'm going to share a little bit today along those themes. But as I was preparing for my word today, I suddenly became aware that actually as women, we can really struggle in some of these areas. We can struggle to reach in and to know that we're beautifully and uniquely created. We can have insecurities in that area. We can look at others and see the beauty in others and see the wonderful things in others' lives, both in appearance and in personality. And we can look at others and think, you know, they're so beautiful. They have so many good qualities, but I struggle to see that in myself. So I became very aware of that as I was preparing, that some of us women would really struggle with that. And then the next thing, to reach up and to know that we're loved and treasured by God. I'm very aware that there'll be many, many women in the room today who struggle in that area, who struggle to connect with God, who struggle to sustain a prayer life, who struggle to really see what the hand of God is doing in their life. Maybe you're in a dry season, maybe you're struggling in your faith at the moment, and maybe that area is a struggle to you. And the third thing, reaching out and believing we can make a difference for many of us women. We can struggle in that area as well. We can struggle with thinking that there's anything in our lives that we can use to make an impact in. And we can question our abilities. We can question the giftings. And we can spend time thinking what other people have got and the gifts that they've got and the contribution and the difference they're making. But often we can overlook ourselves and the things that we can do and contribute. Which brings me to the title of my message today, which is simply, keep reaching. Keep reaching. Turn to the beautiful lady next to you and say, keep reaching. Keep reaching. So in this session today, really, what I want you ladies to grasp today is that if you take nothing else away from the next 30 minutes as I'm sharing with you, that I want you to be inspired to keep reaching for God when life is tough, to keep reaching for God when you've got doubts, there might be women in the room today who are even doubting that God is real. And there might even be women in the room who have been a Christian for many, many years, but in the season of life that you're in and in a difficulty that you're in at the moment, you might be questioning, is God even real in my life? And I'm speaking to you today, if that is you. Keep reaching when life is tough. Keep reaching when you have doubts about God. Keep reaching when you don't have all the answers. Keep reaching when you don't know your purpose and your direction in life. Keep reaching when life is painful. Keep reaching when your circumstances aren't great. And that's what I want to inspire us today. And I'm speaking to myself as much as to every woman in the room today. And so I want to inspire us to keep reaching. And as I was preparing that, I just was reminded of a season in my life that was really relevant to this message. Because I don't know about you, but often the very times in life where we need to keep reaching for God, the reverse actually happens. And they're the moments in life when actually we stop reaching for God and we start looking in other directions, or we start just becoming a bit more inward and reflective, but not actually seeking God and what does God want to say in my life in these seasons. Can anyone relate to that, ladies, today? That often the very times in life where you really need to press in to your relationship with God and press into what is it that God would say to me in this tough season of life, that they're often the moments where we withdraw. And I was reminded of a time in my life, and a lot of the New Horizon women today will know this story, but for those of you that don't know me, I just want to share a snippet of it today because it is relevant to this message. And there was a time in my life where I was told I couldn't have children. Myself and my husband went and we had all of the tests done, which took quite a period of time. And then what they do once they collate all of the different test results that you've had done, they then invite you to the fertility clinic at hospital. And we went along to this appointment just thinking this is a routine thing. They're just going to tell us it's fine. It's just taking a bit longer than normal. And so we sat in this room really chilled out, you know, not concerned at all. And the doctor came in and no sort of niceties at all. He just sat at his desk and said, yeah, I'm sorry. I've looked at all your results and you're not going to be able to conceive naturally. And so myself and my husband received this news, and it was obviously a challenging season in life. But going away from that appointment, one of the hardest things was that my job at the time was to work with pregnant teenagers. So 4 days a week, I had to go, and my job was to support pregnant teenagers. I was there to teach them parenting skills. I was there to care for them and nurture them and support them during this time in their life and to try and encourage them. And so every day I would get up for work, and the very thing that I desired in life was staring me in the face, but I couldn't have it. I'd been told that I couldn't have it. And bizarrely, it was almost like everywhere I went, I would bump into old school friends, I would bump into people that I knew, and they'd either be pregnant or they were, you know, had a new baby, and it was in my face, you know, weekly, daily, this thing that I desired so much that I couldn't have. And it was fine. We sort of went on for a little while, and there came a point where I spoke to my manager at work, And I explained to her the situation and how difficult it was for me to be working in this environment when I was going through this trial. And so we kind of switched things around a little bit for a season. But then as I was praying through this challenge, I really realized that God was challenging me that, yes, you're in this season, and yes, what you desire is staring you in the face, but actually you're withdrawing. You're withdrawing the gifting that you can pour into those women. You're withdrawing the love and the compassion that you can pour into those women. And instead of stepping up and making a difference, you have took yourself out of that picture. You have totally withdrew. And so I felt really challenged that actually I need to just push through, and I need to care for these women. And even though it's tough and I'm looking at a situation that they have that I haven't, and that is hard, I just really knew that God was challenging me not to withdraw and not to pull back, but to keep pushing through and to keep doing that job, even though it was tough. And there were various other things that happened during that time. I had a friend who had some children that were being born with severe challenges, and I was inspired to set up prayer meetings for them, because I knew that God was challenging me not to withdraw and not to hold back in my pain and in my challenge, but I had to actually step up and push through and actually care for those people in that time, even though I was really struggling with that issue. And maybe you can't relate to that particular example today, but there might be other areas in your life that you can relate to where things aren't going too great, or you've had a bad doctor's report, or a relationship is failing, or there's a financial struggle, or something that is happening in your life which is making you question God, or making you doubt God, and making you really wonder what is going on in your life with all of these situations. And maybe you can relate to that. You can relate to my story today. I just want to pull out a few examples from characters we see in the Bible who really struggled in this way as well, where they were faced with something, and instead of stepping up to the challenge and continuing to reach out for God and to see the fullness of all that God had for them, they withdrew as well. So it's not just us ladies today. There are many, many people that we can draw on to be inspired by, who have been in this same situation. So if we look at Moses, so God challenged Moses to do something incredible for him, to lead his people out of captivity. But Moses' response to God was, no, I'm not the person. I speak with a stutter. There's no way that I can do this. And so his response was to withdraw as well. God spoke to Gideon and called him a mighty warrior and gave him a great task to do. But Gideon said, no, that's not me. I'm not a mighty warrior. And he withdrew as well. God asked Jonah to speak to the people of Nineveh, and Jonah actually ran away from God and withdrew and didn't step up and do what God was asking him to do. Abraham and Sarah, God spoke to them that he was going to break through in their situation where they were unable to have children. And they laughed. They laughed at what God said that he could do. So they withdrew as well. And we see countless characters in the Bible where God says something and speaks into their situation, but they actually just did it. They questioned it and they had doubts and they withdrew and they didn't see what God was doing in those situations. Now, we know when we read more along those chapters that God was so gracious to them and he helped them to eventually see what he was doing in their lives. But I just wanted to share those examples today because we might be able to relate to that today, that there are things in your life that might be a struggle right now, and you might be, everything in you might be saying, I don't really want to pray about this. I don't really want to spend time reading my Bible. I'm fed up of this situation now. This is a long-term struggle and it is really tough. And I just want to encourage you today that God has got a plan. Even in the toughest of circumstances, that God has got a plan and he desires for you to continue reaching out for him and not laying aside your relationship with God when times are tough, but to continue to press in, to worship even when you have questions, to pray even when you're not sure if God is even there when you're praying, to just keep going and to keep reaching. So I've got three thoughts that I just want to share with us today. And the first one is this: keep reaching for God in your doubts. Keep reaching for God in your doubts. There's a great story in Mark 9, and it's a father who is bringing his son to Jesus who was suffering. He was suffering with ill health, and he approaches Jesus and he says these words, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me to overcome my unbelief." And the key verse in this Bible verse that we've just read is that this father approaches Jesus, is in a desperate situation, but what he says to Jesus is, "If you can do anything," which tells us straight away that he's approaching Jesus with this doubt, with this question, "Jesus, I'm not sure if you can do anything. I'm not sure if you can change this situation. I'm not sure if any good is going to come of this." And he uses the word if you can do anything. And Jesus' response is amazing because he says this, "Everything is possible for the one who believes." Everything is possible for the one who believes. But this father's request to Jesus was overshadowed by the doubt that he had. That was how he started his request, if you can do anything. And maybe that's how we're approaching God in this season as well, of whatever season that you find yourself in. Maybe you're approaching God with a, "if you can do something," rather than a conviction and a deep-rooted faith that, "God, I know that you can do something. I know that you can impact my situation. I know that you can make a difference here." And it really got me thinking about the impact that doubt has in our lives. The impact that doubt has in our lives. Because often I find that when we start having doubts, that actually what starts leading our lives then is the doubt that we have rather than God. And if you think about that, I'm sure you can relate to that in your own life. And I know that there's been times for me where I've doubted God and I've doubted what he's doing in my life and whether he's even at work in some of the situations that I've been with. And just want to ask you ladies today, because this might relate to some of you, is doubt leading your life? Because I just want to share with you today that doubt is a rubbish leader. It is a rubbish leader. And doubt will lead you away. It will lead you away from God. It will lead you away from the supernatural. It will lead you away from overcoming. It will keep you stagnant. It will keep you not moving, not progressing. It might even lead you backwards and away from all the plans that God has got for you and the destiny that God has spoken over your life. The thing about doubt is as well that it actually causes you to question the very one that has got everything in the palm of his hands. And what we start doing is we start trusting in our questions and trusting in the what ifs instead of trusting in the one who holds everything together, the one who knows the beginning from the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who knows how it's all going to work out, the one who knows how to provide for you, how to care for you, how to pull all things together to make that situation as it should be. And so we start putting our trust in our questions and allowing those to lead us away from God rather than standing firm in all that God has got for us. There's a great verse in Luke 24 where Jesus has just died and he's risen again and he appears to the disciples. And he's appeared to them and he's right there with them, right next to them. But the Bible tells us that their response was they were startled and afraid. And what that tells me is that sometimes when Jesus is the closest to us, that can be some of the times where we notice him the least. Jesus said to the disciples in that situation, he said, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Just want to pull out a few things that Jesus said. And if you're one of those people today who really struggle with questioning God and struggle with having doubts in your faith when you're going through a tough time, I just want to draw out a few things from Jesus' response here. So the first thing he said was, "Look at my hands and my feet." In other words, Jesus was willing to help them in their doubts by showing them that he was real. that was his response, that he was willing to actually show them that he was real. And maybe if you're in that situation this afternoon, ladies, maybe you could take that step of faith today and just pray a simple prayer. God, show me that you're real. I think one of our ladies has said that on the stage as well. I believe it was Keely that was praying that same prayer. God, show me that you were real. I don't know if anyone's ever prayed that prayer. Any ladies ever prayed that prayer? God, show me that you are real in my situation. I know that I've had times where I've prayed that as well. And what this verse tells me is that actually it's a great prayer to pray, because Jesus is willing to help us. He's willing to show us that he's real. And that's what he did for the disciples. The second thing he did for the disciples, it says, reach out and touch me. That's what he invited the disciples to do. So in your doubts today, ladies, Jesus invites you to reach out for him. It's okay if you have doubts, but in your doubts, reach out and reach out for God. The third thing he said to them was he showed them his hands and his feet. So first he said, look at my hands and my feet. But here in this verse, he's saying, here, look. Look, you can see me in the flesh. You can see that I'm here and that I'm real. And he invites them to look at his hands and feet. And he himself showed them that he was real. So he knew what they needed to overcome their doubts. And he reassured them in that moment. Then a little further on, it says he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That is another great thing that God can do to help us in our doubts, that he can open our minds so we can understand what the Bible says and to know that he is real in our situation. So if that relates to you today, ladies, I just wanted those few things to encourage you, that in our doubts, we can really struggle to see God. We can struggle to see what he's doing in our lives. But Jesus' response is amazing. He wants to show you that he is real and that he is there in those situations. It's okay to have doubts. We all have doubts sometimes, don't we? We can struggle in that area, especially when life is tough. But just want to challenge you, ladies, today, that if you're struggling in that area, that instead of withdrawing and pulling back and putting a stopper on your prayer life, or putting a stopper even on coming to church, that you will keep pushing through and keep reaching out and keep pressing through and seeking what God would want to encourage you with today. Is that okay, ladies? This, I know that this is a challenging message today, but I really felt that this was relevant for women in the room today, that maybe you are doubting God and that you need to hear that encouragement today to not pull back and to not just take yourself out of the game and to give up, but to keep reaching for God in your doubts. So the second point today is to keep reaching for God in your pain. There's a great verse in Mark chapter 5, and many of us will know it well, and it's regarding a woman who approached Jesus with a need. It says this, Mark 5, 25 to 34, a large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So that's an example that we read in the Bible of a woman who approached Jesus in her pain. But maybe you can't relate to that particular situation that she was in. Maybe you sometimes in life struggle and experience pain in many different ways. There is the pain of insecurity. I don't know if any of us women can relate to that today, that there can be a real struggle with insecurity at times, and that can be a painful thing that we go through. There's the pain of physical suffering, and I know that for many of us in the room today, we might be struggling in that area, that there's areas of our health that we might be struggling physically. There's the pain of emotional suffering, and maybe there's women here today who are struggling emotionally. Maybe that you are struggling with depression. Maybe you're struggling with low mood. Maybe you're struggling in that area today. There's the pain of relational difficulties. There's the pain of financial struggles. There's the pain of inadequacy. And there's many different ways that we can experience pain in life. The woman in this story, the story tells us that she had spent everything that she had to find a way to get better from this pain that she was in. In other words, what that tells me is she had tried so many different things before she encountered Jesus. And often that can be our response. We can reach out for so many different things before we think about reaching out for Jesus and what is it that he can do to help us. And when you're going through a tough time, you know, maybe you kind of, your go-to thing to sort of deal with your situation is maybe you speak to a friend, or maybe you speak to a group of friends, or maybe you express how you're feeling on social media, or maybe you try lots of different things. But actually, those things are great, and those things can be a source of help to us, but our situation actually often remains unchanged. Maybe you've tried masking the pain with various things to sort of try and help you not to think about it, but underneath it all, the situation is actually still there. Maybe you've sought wisdom in lots of different places, but the problem still remains. Often we go to many places for help in our pain before we go to God. And in our pain, because what pain does in our lives is it causes us to have questions, and it causes us to think, well, why has God allowed this in my life? Why am I in this situation? Why is this happening to me? If God loves me, why am I finding myself in this situation here? And often what we can do is we can find it easier to cope ourselves than to wrestle with those questions. We can find it easier to find our own solutions instead of seeing what God would want to say in those situations. But somehow this woman in this story, because it does tell us that she'd tried everything. She'd tried lots of different... It said she spent everything that she had trying to find her healing. But it tells us in the verse, it tells us that when she heard of Jesus, when she heard of him, she knew that she could reach out for him and that he would do something in her situation. So in her desperation, she says these words, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And I wonder if you related to any of those things that I said, the different sources of pain that we can go through, physical suffering, emotional suffering, financial struggles, relational difficulties. And maybe you can make that same declaration of faith that this woman made, that if I just reach out, then I'll be healed. Maybe that's speaking to you today. And this woman hadn't even heard of Jesus before she was in this situation. The text says when she heard about Jesus, she approached him, which suggests she didn't have any background to draw on. She didn't have any catalogue of answered prayers or knowing the miracles that Jesus had previously done in her life. And so she was kind of going into that situation blind, not knowing a history of what Jesus was capable of and what he could do. But for many of us in this room, we do have answered prayers that we can draw on. We do have those things that, you know, we can look back on in our lives and know, actually, yeah, I can see that, I can remember that. And coming back to my story, I'm just going to read a bit of a psalm. This became really important to me in this time. Because what we often do as women when we're going through a tough time is that we very quickly forget times where God has answered our prayers. We very quickly forget times where he's come through for us. And so this verse is great because it shows us someone else who's experienced that but has pushed through. So Psalm 77, it says this, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? And has he withheld his compassion?" They're very, very relevant questions to us, aren't they? And we can struggle with these questions. That's what I love about the Psalms, that it just wrestles with the real questions. So if you find yourself relating to this today, I encourage you to read the Psalms. But then what he does, so he expresses all of these doubts. He expresses all of these questions. But then he says this, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal. the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works, and I will meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people. That's a Bible verse we can get excited about, ladies, isn't it? Because what this psalmist is saying is, yes, I've got questions. Yes, I've got doubts. Yes, I'm struggling with this situation. But I'm going to call to mind every time God has come through for me before, every time I have had a prayer answered, every time I have struggled with a situation and I've not been able to find a solution for myself, but God has come through for me and achieved something amazing. So this psalm was really a bedrock for me in that time. And what I had to learn to do is I had to learn to stop focusing on the thing that was causing me pain. And I had to, yes, have the questions and, yes, bring those questions to God. And that's a very real part of our faith. It's okay to wrestle with those questions. Sometimes we have to do that. If we skirt past them, that's not authentic living, is it, ladies? Sometimes we wrestle with these things and it's okay. And share that with a Christian friend and let's be really real about where we find ourselves. But then also let's move past that to this standpoint, as we see in the psalm. I am going to call to mind every time God has come through for me, every time that he has done something amazing in my life. And let that be the foundation of our faith, not the doubts, not the questions, but that past experience we have of what God has done in our lives. If you're here today and you don't have that, maybe you're on a journey of faith and you've not yet committed your life to God, then maybe today could be a day where you make a bold prayer and say, okay, God, I don't have those answers to prayer. I don't have those experiences because I've not started a journey of faith with you. But speak to some of the Christian women in the room today and let them encourage you that the journey of faith is amazing. And yes, we don't always have the questions to the painful things in life, but what I've learned and what I've come to the conclusion of is this, that I'd rather not know the answers but have God than to try and find all the answers, but I'm grappling through life on my own. I'd rather have God and not know why than to be without him, because I know that he's with me and I know that he can help me through the tough stuff of life. Okay. Are we all right, ladies? Are you sure? Because this is a tough message. Why don't you turn to the woman next to you and just say, are you okay? Give her a hug if she looks like she needs a hug. Okay. Do you know what? That's one of the beautiful things about women, about getting the women together, is that sometimes in life we do have to talk about tough stuff, don't we? And sometimes that is hard, and we all like to hear the messages where you know, we're talking about positive things and it's, you know, it's boosting our faith. But sometimes we do have to talk about the tough stuff and we do have to wrestle with that and help each other with it. But that's what's beautiful about getting all the girls together and being in a room together, that this is a good environment. And if you find yourself in any of those situations today, it's great as women to just be able to share together and pray for one another. So do you feel better after that hug? Okay. My last point today is this. Keep reaching for God in your mistakes. Keep reaching for God in your mistakes. Has anyone in the room here ever made a mistake that was really, really embarrassing? Never. Okay. Wow, surprised me. I remember one time I was just on my way home from Christian Uni. So I'm the pastoral care coordinator and lead the women's ministry with Becky and Becky here in this church. But I used to be the youth worker. And I used to go and do the Christian unions and I'd be with them helping Andy do that at that particular time. And we were on our way back from Christian Union one day. And we were driving back up the road to where our offices were at the time. And I noticed that I broke my nail. How annoying is that when that happens? Anyone relate to the pain of breaking a nail? Oh, it's a really painful experience. Not physically, but just emotionally. It's a real struggle to break a nail, isn't it? So I'm distracted thinking, oh, just broke a nail. It's really annoying. And I was so busy looking at my broken nail that I crashed right into the back of Pastor Andy's car. And I had no explanation or excuse other than, oh, I broke a nail. I was just looking at my nail. That was an embarrassing mistake. I also once, I'd not long learned to drive, actually, and my parents had a house where you had to reverse out of the driveway onto like a really busy road, and I was panicking a bit about it and trying to nail it, you know, nail it first time and look like I know what I'm doing. And I actually reversed my car off the driveway clean into the flower bed, which was about this much below the driveway. Then, in my wisdom, tried to drive the car out of the flower bed, but obviously half of it was down here and half of it was up here, and it was never going to happen. So then I churned up the flower bed. And my granddad had to come and do that thing that they do, they jack the car and get it out. So maybe you've made mistakes as well. Maybe your mistakes are less embarrassing than my mistakes. But in life, the fact is that we do get things wrong sometimes. And often what happens when we get things wrong is that it creates a sense of shame, doesn't it? It creates a sense of shame. Often when we make a mistake, we can, you know, be really worried about having to face up to that, and we can hide. So I've got 4 kids. So to come back to the story, obviously there was an answer to prayer there. And praise God. So God answered my prayer a little bit too much. So just be careful. Just be careful what you pray for. So I'm the mother. I know I don't look old enough, but I'm the mother of 4 children. And so I've got 2 boys and 2 girls. And when they make mistakes, and every woman in the room who has kids will know this, is that they tend to run away, or they'll hide, or they'll find a quiet part of the house. Or sometimes, actually, what they'll do is they'll go and do something nice for me, like I'll find them washing the pots or something. I'll be like, yeah, I've clocked you. I know. And we can do that in life. So when we make mistakes, we can tend to hide, and we have this sense of shame. And in closing today, I'm just going to be a few more minutes now. I just want to draw on an example in the Bible, and that example is Adam and Eve. And it says this in Genesis 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to man, "Where are you? Where are you?" I'm just going to pull out just 3 different things from this verse that will speak to us today with this sense of shame and this sense of pulling back from God when we've made a mistake. And so the first one is this: the Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" And if you find yourself in this situation today where you've made a mistake, and it might not even be anything on a big scale, but maybe you just feel like you're somehow not doing life right. You're somehow not managing to live your life the way you feel you should be living your life, or there's things in your life that you know you need to put right, or something that you feel challenged on today. And God's word to Adam and Eve in this story was, "Where are you? Where are you?" And if you can relate to that today, and if you're someone who is hiding away from God today because of the way that you are living your life, I believe God's word to you is this: where are you? Where are you? Because the truth is that God wants to have a relationship with you. Whether you are living life well, whether you are not doing life the way that you feel God would want you to, the truth is this: that he wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants to help you in your mistakes. He doesn't want you to feel that you're away from him or cast out of his presence because of the mistakes or the way that you are living your life. So his question to you today is, where are you? Yeah. Come back to me. The next amazing verse that we find in this is, he approaches Adam and Eve, and he says to them, they say to him that they've made some clothing for them because they realized they were naked. If you know the story in Genesis, they made clothes to cover themselves because they felt ashamed. And God's question was to Adam and Eve, who told you Who told you that you were naked? In other words, what God is actually saying to Adam and Eve in that situation is this. Who is it that has made you feel ashamed? I don't know if you can come and join me, Kaz, on the stage. Who has made you feel ashamed? Who has spoken negative things over your life? Who is making you feel that you need to be living in shame? And one of the things I've had to learn on my Christian journey, I'm coming to a close in just a minute, is this, is we need to understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. Because often what we feel in life is that when we're making mistakes or we know that we're kind of not living our life the way that God wants us to live our life, we know that we're not applying Christian principles in the Bible to our lives, often what we do is we feel a sense of condemnation. We feel that we're not good enough. We feel that we're not getting it right. We feel that, you know, this whole being a Christian woman of God thing, I'm looking around at other Christian women and I'm thinking, well, you know, you're floating 9 inches above the ground. You look like you must pray every half an hour. You look like you must burst out of bed in the morning and just, you know, grab your Bible straight away and just have this closeness with God. And often we can do that. We can look at others and we can think that they're doing this whole Christian life thing so much better than us. And we feel this sense of shame. But the difference between condemnation is what condemnation says to us is there's something wrong with you. You're not getting this right. There's a problem here. But what conviction does is it's God gently steering us back to Him. It's that sense from the Holy Spirit that, okay, there's something in your life that needs to change. But it's a gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit to say, okay, let's work on this together. Let's look at this together. And there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction helps us to see that our actions are wrong, but steers us back to God. Whereas condemnation is a sense that there's something wrong with us that I need to feel ashamed of. And it's a feeling of shame that often leads us away from God. The next amazing thing that God does in this verse for Adam and Eve, it says He made garments of clothes for them and He clothed them. And in this story, their nakedness, their lack of clothes represented their shame. And what God does is this, He made clothes for them and he covered them. He took those items and He covered them over. And what that represented was the sense of shame that you were feeling, the thing that is making you feel exposed, the thing that is making you feel unworthy or dirty or unloved or not good enough, that I'm going to cover over that. And I'm going to restore to you your dignity. I'm going to restore to you your sense of worth, your sense of being valued. And that's what God does. See, what we do in our mistakes is we pull back from God. But what God wants us to do is to keep pressing in, to keep talking to Him, to allow Him to lead us in our lives. So we're going to bring this message to a close now. And I just want to read a verse that was really relevant to this, but really relevant to the whole theme of our conference. We'll just find it. And I can't find it. So I'll try and remember it. So it's in Deuteronomy 30:11. And it basically is God saying that reaching out for me is not too difficult for you. Here we are, I've got it. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not too difficult for you and it's not beyond your reach. In other words, with all these things that we've been talking about today and all these doubts we can have, we can struggle with our doubts, we can struggle with pain, we can struggle with making mistakes. But what God's saying is, you can do it. You can keep reaching for me in your doubts. You can keep reaching for me in your pain. You can keep reaching for me when you feel that you're getting life wrong. So I don't know if you can stand with me, ladies. And we're just going to close in a time of prayer and then I'll hand over to Becky, who's going to explain to us what we're doing next. But I just wanted to create a time for any lady in the room who might want to respond to this message. The truth is that I think probably all of us can relate to at least one of these points, because the truth is that none of us are perfect. we're just a bunch of women doing life together, trying to do this thing called Christianity, trying to do this thing called walking with Jesus. And the truth is that we do get things wrong sometimes, and we do struggle in some of these areas. So why don't we just bow our heads and let's have a time of prayer. And I just want to invite you ladies that if you want to respond to any of these things today, there is space for you to do that. So I'm just going to bring three different things that you might want to respond to today. And if you can relate to any of these things, if you want to pop your hand up, and what that does is it just signifies to me that you want to receive some prayer for this issue today. So pop your hand up if you have stopped reaching for God in your doubts, if you can relate to that. That's great. That's great. Wonderful. Pop your hand up now if you've stopped reaching for God in your pain. That's great. That's great, ladies. And lastly, if you've stopped reaching for God in your mistakes, if you can relate to that, why don't you show me your hand now? Thank you, ladies. That's wonderful. So I'm just going to pray for those ladies, but I just encourage those of you that have responded and have been brave enough to put your hand in the air to let me know that that's you, that you've heard that nudging of God today, that he's speaking to you, that he wants to encourage you in the situation that you find yourself in. If that's you today, we're going to pray in a moment. But why don't you make the most of this day to connect with somebody and to chat with somebody about the reason that you put your hand up in response today. I just want to mention as well that we have over in the far corner over there, we have a prayer wall, and there's some paper there and some pens, and you might want to put some time aside today in just reflection to write down a prayer, write down something that you're struggling with, and you can just roll it up into a scroll and post it on that prayer wall, and that's your personal prayer to God today. Myself and the team are around, and we'd be delighted to pray for you. There are members of the pastoral care team here at New Horizon Church that will be lingering around the prayer wall as well. So if you feel like you would benefit from just having someone to pray with today, then please do make the most of that opportunity. But women, let's be women of faith right now, and let's lift our hands and let's pray for these women. Father God, I just thank you for these women that have lifted their hands today. Father God, we extend our hands towards them, and Lord, I just pray that you would really meet them at their point of need today. I pray for every woman in the house today who was struggling in the area of doubts. Father God, I thank you that as we've seen in your word, that you are gracious and loving, that you are faithful to help us when we have doubts. Lord, we read in the Bible of doubting Thomas, who doubted that you were even real when you were right next to him, Lord. But Lord, you invited him to reach out and touch you. And so Father God, you are able to help us in our doubts, and you are compassionate enough to bear with us in our doubts. So Father God, I pray for these women today that are experiencing doubts in their walk of faith. Father God, would you meet with them today? Would you make yourself known to them today, Father? Would they know without any doubt today that you are real in their life, that you, Father God, have good plans for them, plans not to harm them, but to prosper them and to give them a hope and a future. May they know that with full assurance today, Father God. Father God, I pray for any woman in this place today who is experiencing pain, whether pain that is physical, pain that is emotional, pain of insecurities, pain of financial struggles, pain of relational difficulties, whatever it is for her. Father God, in the name of Jesus, would you do something incredible in her life today? And Lord, where she is held back from you because of her questions, because of her frustrations, because of her struggle in her pain, Father God, instead of pulling back from you, Father, would you enable her to have the faith today to start reaching for you again and to start reaching out for you and to know that you are God, that you have that situation in the palm of your hands, and that you are more than able to do something incredible in each and every situation represented here. And lastly, Father, I pray for the group of women who are struggling in the area of mistakes, who are struggling in the area of maybe not living their life as they feel that they should be, or maybe they feel they've failed in certain areas, and maybe they feel that they're not living this Christian life as they should. And Father, I pray for them today And I thank you, Father, for your love and your compassion and your word, where we want to feel a sense of condemnation and shame, that you come, Father, to lift that from us, that you take that shame from us and you replace it, Father, with your love, Father, with the value that you place on our lives, Father. And I just pray for every woman in the room today who's feeling ashamed. Father, would you lift that shame from her in the name of Jesus? Help her to know that she is valued and loved and treasured, that you have good plans for her life. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Ladies, you can take your seats. Thank you so much for listening.